This is Focus with Jessica Strutt on ABC Radio Perth.
G'day. Great to be with you on this Tuesday. Hey, look, do you remember this? Rushing out of class in primary school to play. Play, do you remember play? Well, that might be a long time ago now, so I wonder how you'd answer this question. When is the last time you played? The importance of play for children is, you know, it's pretty well documented, isn't it? We all know that kids need a bit of time to go out and explore and play. But I'm wondering, what about for we adults? Is it essential for us? Dr. Stuart Brown is the founder of the National Institute for Play in the United States, and he's dedicated his career to researching the importance of play. Let's have a listen.
Why is play important? Well, begin to think of life without it. No humor, no innovation, diminished creativity, depression, physical inactivity, and then think about life with it. Humor, optimism, physical activity, deep engagement, and it is the key to unlocking one's own innate personal talents. It is also the key to really looking within oneself for what is it that really motivates me, what makes me a self, what gives me a sense of purpose, what gives me a sense of future. And without play, we don't really have that deep engagement in life and our own future and our own authentic self.
Amen to that. So today on Focus, we are exploring the concept of play as an adult. And I'm asking you to share with me, how do you play in your life? So we're going to have a chat today on Focus about why play is important in adult life. We know it's good for the kids. We hit the streets to find out what others think about play as adults.
I think play is important for adults because it puts them in touch with their inner child, and it's a social thing as well.
For me, it's important because you can completely let go of normal responsibilities and just like live in the moment.
I think when you're a kid, by playing around with things, you work out what you can do, and that continues to be the case.
It's relaxation. I think it's just letting go and not having to worry about anything.
An ability to be silly, because I think often as people get older, even some kids that are young, are so afraid of looking silly. And there's so much benefit of not being afraid of looking silly.
I think play blurs lines. You don't know if you're an adult or a kid anymore. I think having something that blurs lines gives us potential to grow in ways we wouldn't have thought otherwise.
Summed up nicely. I think you've probably worked out by now that I'm pretty much just a big kid. But I love to play. I absolutely love to play. Not just with, you know, kids, my nieces, my nephews, but as an adult. So I want to know, how do you play in your life? 1-300-222-720. Or you can send a text, as I said, but it's more fun if we play on the phone. But the text line is there, 0437-922-720. Is it through, you know, I don't know, sport, a creative outlet, something that makes you laugh out loud? You know, we're talking about the things in life that you love and you do them just purely for pleasure, to connect, I suppose, sometimes just with yourself and also then also possibly with others. So how do you play as an adult, and what do those activities, what does this play bring to your life? That's what we're looking at.
This is Focus on ABC Radio Perth.
Now, my next guest is a fan of play, and not just in the realm of being a child. In fact, he discovered that his life was missing something, and he has found play to be a very essential part of being, not just in his life, but in others too. Aidan Date runs an improvised theatre company called Only the Human. He's brought some toys with him today. He's got a play suit on, and he's with me in the studio. Hello, Aidan.
Hey, Jess. Lovely to be with you.
Hey, listen, no throwing the toys out the cot today.
I'm so sorry about before. I'll fix the window.
Okay, well done. Thank you. Now, take us back a few years, Aidan. What happened to make you seek out something playful?
So I was, like many people, very serious in my mid-20s. I kind of felt a lot of pressure to succeed in my career. I felt the need to be really fit and healthy. Everything in my life seemed to kind of be about something else, you know, one day the house, one day the car, so on and so forth. And I wasn't really doing too much with my own time that was just for the sake of pleasure, just doing something for its own sake. And I remembered back to drama classes in high school, and drama was, it was the subject that I took the least seriously. I was like, oh yeah, that's not going to get me to uni. I'm never going to be an actor. And so it kind of occupied this special place. It was something that was a little untouched by seriousness. So I started taking improvisation classes in my mid-20s. I fell in love with it. And long story short, now I run this company and teach other adults how to play through improvised theatre.
Were you surprised by how quickly you embraced it again?
Yeah, absolutely. And we can probably talk a little bit about the flow state, right? Like this idea that part of what makes play great is there's a sense of total immersion. Like you kind of forget yourself, you forget your day-to-day life, and then when you're kind of done with it, you sort of come out and you have to shake your head and go, oh, yeah, that's right, Aidan Date, age 33, live it, you know, so on and so forth. It's totally immersive. It took me out of my head in a way that a few other things could.
So it took you out of your head and it sort of reconnected, I suppose, you to things that you'd love, and you remembered drama at high school. But what happened when you started to include it more, drama, in your life again, in this serious? And you're not alone there. I mean, my 20s were as boring as anything. So I think a lot of people do that, this pressure on ourselves. So what happened when you started to play and incorporate this drama, Aidan?
So what I kind of learned through play was you get into this habit when you're playing of like stepping into a different space that kind of has its own rules. And then you kind of bring some of what you learn or some of what you experience there back into the space of your normal life. So I found as I was kind of going about my normal life, I was sort of seeing the structures and habits that I was kind of using to guide myself and guide my behavior. I saw them as a little more malleable, things that I could play with, basically. So I was always sort of playful at work, you know, a kind of bit of a class clown, Peter Pan syndrome, never really grew up. But I could sort of start to go back to work and go, oh, you know, why do we do things this way? Why do I do this way? Play kind of gave me permission to be a little more playful with the serious parts of my life.
I'm kind of glad we weren't at the same school. Because I think, or in the same class, the teacher would have had some difficulties. Hey, Aidan, let's go to some texts. I'm asking you today, you know, how do you play as an adult? It can be anything, musical instrument, maybe it's sport, but is there an outlet for you that touches on these things that Aidan Date, who runs an improvised theatre company, is talking about? You know, we do tend to be, and especially during the times we're living in, so much anxiety and worry in the world, this beautiful concept of play and just getting outside of the rigour of day-to-day routines. I'd love to hear from you. How do you play? David called in, Aidan, to say he loves playing music. Even if he's not very good at it, it's a great way to let go. Sounds like me on the ukulele, David, so don't worry. Don't listen to the family. I'm sure you're fine. Sue says, I catch up with good friends and I hand sew patchwork quilts, embroidery. We play with fabric. So great for relaxing and mental health. Thanks, Sue. Andrew says, hey, Jess, we go camping to Busselton every Christmas for 2 weeks as a family at 5 p.m. every Arvo. We play dodgeball on a bouncy pillow, 3 kids games, then 1 adult game. That's when adults from the park jump on the pillow and the kids throw the ball at us. It's so much fun. Andrew, that is exactly what I'm talking about. So if Andrew or Sue or David have just made you think about the importance of play in your life, let me know about it. 1-300-222-720. Now, I'm having a chat with Aidan Date, and he runs, as I said, an improvised theatre company, and he's talking about what that journey was like going back to drama, something he'd loved as a kid but, you know, hadn't sort of thought of it as a career opportunity and was caught up in this very serious life in his 20s. So now this is your business, teaching, well, I suppose teaching others to play. What does that look like?
So one of the first things that we have to do when we're playing, because it involves stepping out of our normal day-to-day life, it naturally involves an element of risk. and people first of all, have to feel really safe stepping into that place, particularly if you're in a room full of strangers. You know, the kind of play that we do, it's collaborative, it's co-creative. You're surrounded by all these people and there's laughter in it. And laughter can be really scary as well. We don't like being laughed at. So one of the first things we have to do when we want to get into play is really design it for success, really make sure that our first goal is to have fun, to enjoy the company that we're with. And then, I mean, I love the point about, like, I'm not very good at ukulele. Like, that element of, like...
Which,
like,
is why I love it.
Well, you have to own your failure when you're playing.
Totally.
If you go in and you set yourself the standard of doing it really well, you're going to lose that play element. You're going to lose that play spirit. So the first thing we kind of do is get people really comfortable failing together, getting... appreciating that failure means success when you're playing.
So, Aidan, is that then why we see play, why generally as a society we do see play as something for children? Do you think that it is because of that fear of failure, or there are other factors perhaps at play as well?
Yeah, I think there are other factors at play. I think of the – see, it's interesting. We can't help avoid using the word. It shows how pervasive it is.
One of my favourite words.
I think when kids play, they're sort of experimenting with their environment. You know, they're figuring out, what can I get away with? And, you know, we all have this experience with kids. Babies as young as 8 months will, like, reach to give their parent the car keys and then pull their hand back at the last minute. So kids are playing, engaging in social play with their parents well before their first year. And they're doing that as a way of experimenting and learning about the world, particularly the social world, the world of how we interact with other people. The problem with adults is we think we've got it all figured out. We think we know what we need to do. We think we know how to relate to other people. We come to codify our whole life into these habits and institutions. And it kind of becomes very brittle and fragile as a result. So I think of that sort of that sense that we have it all figured out, that sense that we know what is serious and worthwhile, is the biggest impediment to playfulness in adulthood.
All right. Well, I've been asking you today what you do as a form of play as an adult. You know, what do you do to let your hair down, be a bit silly and have a bit of fun that's just for you, I suppose, where it's an outlet for you away from the boring rigour of life and the seriousness and the things, the stress and anxiety we'll have. And I've got Emerald on the phone. I think she's got a great thing that she does. Hello, Emerald.
Hi, how are you?
Super well, thank you. Now, how do you play?
I play with a kite.
Is that right?
Found my old kite under a table when I was just cleaning a couple of weeks ago. And, so I picked it up and unravelled it and went down to the local park.
Yeah.
And it was quite windy that day, so it was a good day to try and fly a kite. And it went up so easily. And then I let it go to the whole length of the string, and it was just beautiful feeling the tension on the string and being in contact with the wind. And it had this wonderful, scary Japanese face on it. So.
Did you scare the kids at the park then?
No, I could see it was like near the local primary school.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of kids there. So I was just hoping that they might have looked up and seen it and get an idea for themselves.
Hey, Emerald, can I ask, may I ask, how old are you?
I'm 80.
Okay, so were there looks from people from you down at the park, or were there, I imagine there might have been looks of awe, like, wow, that's great.
Well, actually, a couple of people went by, but they didn't look up.
Is that right?
So I don't know what they thought I was doing, sort of waving my arm around in the air.
The problem these days, Emerald, is that people are out hunting Pokemons on their phones and devices, so they're not actually looking at other people and missing this beautiful thing, which is an 80-year-old playing and flying a kite. What sort of feeling did it give you? Did it evoke memories of your childhood in any way?
No, I don't think I had opportunities to play much in my childhood, but what I was feeling was a sense of freedom and exuberance and the strength of the wind. You could just feel it through the long trailing string that I was hanging on to. And you could see it in the kite, the face, and also there were a long trailing ribbons falling down from it, and they were fluttering all the time. It was just lovely to watch it. I mean, it was hard to describe, and I really liked that.
Emerald, if I happen to see you or anyone else down flying a kite, I'll come and say hello. Thank you very much for sharing that beautiful story. Emerald, who flies a kite at 80. Now, I've got Aidan Date with me, and he runs improvised theatre, and he was talking about the impact of going back to drama and as a form of play and the impact that it has now teaching others to play. What do you see change in adults who come along through going through this improvised theatre company that you run?
So enormous benefits for a whole lot of people, but I think the best part about play and laughter as a social activity, and it's not to say that play has to be social. There's plenty of forms of play that we can do on our own. But
yeah, we just heard of one.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's almost like playing with the wind in that context. But when we are doing social play, we're primarily learning how to relate to and form bonds with other people. So one of the best things that I notice from running these classes is just the sense of solidarity, the kind of community that tends to be built around play. Like when you've done it with the same group of people for an extended period of time, there's a real sense of like, oh, you know, I really get along with these folks. They're great. And that real comfort, relaxedness with other people, I think is, for me, one of the best outcomes that comes out of improv theatre or social play in general.
And what about for you when you first went into it? Have you noticed it change you in other ways that have then had impacts on other parts of your life? Like, and particularly I'm wondering what your reaction was of friends, because when you're silly in front of friends, depending on your friends, some love it and they love that playfulness, and other people can be quick to sort of judge.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
I do know what you're talking about. And I think the ones that are quick to judge, maybe I don't spend as much time with anymore. I've come to surround myself with, it's like we've gotten the class clown from all of the different classes and made our own class entirely of class clowns. So for me, I have a certain relaxedness in the kind of structures and things that I operate with. I'm playful with my own life. I'm always questioning my own habits of mind and habits of behavior, and generally being willing just to try out different things. I think one of the beautiful things about play is we're only sort of ever half stepping out of our life. You know, the point, it's not a leap of faith. It's kind of stepping over the precipice and kind of putting one foot on the far side to see how it feels. And if you like it, you bring it back into your life. And if you don't, you can kind of leave it there.
You talked before, Aidan, about, you know, it's that difficulty when you've been really absorbed in play and then suddenly you go, oh, I am still, you know, I think you said 33, or I'm actually a 40-year-old woman. Like, I actually still need to cook the dinner. And that is the difficulty, isn't it? You don't have mum going, come in for dinner, as you're out playing cricket in the street. So it is that difficulty of knowing how to get back into the rigour of daily life. That's the thing I struggle to do that, I think. Keep your texts coming out. Aidan, we've got a few more brilliant texts. So we'll just go to some of these. From Tammy. She says, one of the best reasons to play is to become a grandparent. Recently, we've been ninjas, superheroes, mechanics, and had beautiful tea parties. We've been zip lining big nature playgrounds, tried to hurdle logs in the forest last weekend. My sister and I, both in our 50s, recently dressed up as Easter bunnies for our grandies, and we set up an egg hunt. We just get just as much fun as the kids do out of it. Thank you for that, Tammy. Sarah says, we have a 3-year-old and we do a lot of pretend play, even though we are all busy. Spending time with children, grandchildren, playing their games is just magic. They are full of life. Thank you, Sarah. Another text, Aidan says, swing dancing is very playful. It's improvised and you even get to dress up. And we've got some fantastic pictures that people have sent in of them dressed up in their weird and wonderful outfits, including someone who sent in a picture from a recent midwinter Mad Hatter's party on Saturday. After shrinking drinks, it was through to the rabbit hole, musical chairs without chairs, BYO alcohol was confiscated and returned in teapots to be drunk from fancy cups. Well, it was a tea party, says Kat in Mandra. Fantastic. Thank you very much for those texts. And got Aidan Date with me talking through the importance of play. Now, improv comedy, Aidan, is where you you found your love, I suppose, of play. But what other pursuits can be seen in the context of I suppose, really playing, Aidan?
So I think sport is a great example. I think other forms of creative arts, I think you were saying before, like even the way that you cook, play is something that you can infuse in and throughout your life. It doesn't have to sort of be restricted to any particular domain. I think any time that you are stepping into a place and a time that has its own sort of set of rules, that has its own kind of meaning that is independent of daily life, anytime you're stepping into that space and you are doing it primarily for the purpose of pleasure, primarily for the purpose of entering that flow state, that immersive state, that's play. So for some people that, you know, could be cooking or embroidery, or it could be the way that you go for a run. I think the main challenge I see with a lot of adults is we tend with those sorts of activities to find a way to make them work. You know, we're running, but we're always trying to beat our best time. We're cooking, but, you know, we're trying to meet all of our nutritional needs. Even something like improv, if you're doing it because you want to get picked up by a comedy agent, the fun can come out of it. There is no activity that is always play. Play is a spirit with which you can infuse many different activities.
I like this idea because I do take my jogs pretty seriously, so maybe today I'll have to run in a wizard's outfit. Hey, Chrissy Mundaring, thanks for your text. He's got a question for you, Aidan, and I think it hit on something that I think you did mention earlier on. Hi, Jess. I was wondering if Aidan has done any work regarding the authentic self. I've just been doing some work in discovering the authentic self and how we can recognise this, things we don't realise that we are capable of, and the different techniques we can use to identify things we don't realise that we can do. Is that something that you think comes into it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the things I think about with humour in particular, which is sort of play adjacent, I suppose, is nobody can sort of pretend to be funny. If you make someone laugh, you are funny. You know, you can pretend to be rich. You know, you can go out and rent a BMW for a day. You can pretend to be really successful, but it's very hard to pretend to be funny. And part of that comes from when you have that playful spirit, when you're doing something for its own sake, you're not worried about what other people think about you. You're not worried about how you look. It was mentioned earlier, you lose that fear of being silly. And whenever you're doing something for its own sake, for pure pleasure, it's kind of by nature authentic.
How do you think people identify what play means for them? I'm assuming it's fairly individual.
The sort of the form that play takes, like the kind of thing you enjoy doing, is deeply individual. But the kind of the benefits, the nature, that kind of play spirit is something that we all share in common. And it's sort of it's something like when you see a woman in a park flying a kite, you know she's playing. You know, there's no other reason that she's out there doing that.
That's imagine missing that. Can you imagine being at the park and walking past Emerald as she flew a kite in her 80s and not bothering? I'd just walk straight over and have a chat or sit and watch, wouldn't you?
Well, that's us getting fixed in our habits, right? We literally don't even think to look up. We don't think there might be something interesting in the sky. But if your form of play is going bird watching, suddenly the sky becomes this incredibly relevant and interesting place to you.
And beautiful. Hey, Dee from Denmark has also texted in. Denmark, beautiful spot down there last week on my week off, and you're very lucky, beautiful spot. She says, speaking of kites, my husband and I have played all of the time together. We bought two kites from the Fremantle markets when we first met, and we used to go down to the beach at Northcote at night whilst all of our mates were at the pub. The seagulls would fly around the kites. We live regionally on our own farm. We both still have lots of hobbies that we do together, and it keeps us young and stress-free. I love skipping down the street, she says. We have skipping races with our kids even now that they're not kids anymore. It's hilarious, and I'm sure other people would laugh at us, and that's the fun of it. Woohoo, she says. Keep playing. Thanks, Dee. I appreciate that. And I wondered as well, we might finish just quickly on this note, Aidan. I'm wondering the point that she sort of makes there about the connection with her husband. Can play be important in couples? Do couples ever come along to your improvised theatre? Do you see play as an important, I suppose, aspect for couples?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the same. If you go to a relationship therapist, one of the main things they're going to tell you that couples deal with is the sense that the fun has been lost, that the couple itself, in the way the individual can get caught in routine, couples can as well. Oh, well, you know, every day we get up and I go to work and he stays and he drops the kids off and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So finding ways to play together as couples. I also think parents finding play that they can do with their kids is really important, because that speaks to that element of social bonding that's inherent in play. Play is a way of saying, I trust you and I feel comfortable with you, so I can take the risk of looking silly. I can show a bit of my own authenticity. So you really want to be comfortable doing that with your partner first, your kids, and then if you think you've got that, time to step it up and see if you can be playful out in the world.
Aidan Dade, thanks so much for your time.
This is Focus with Jessica Strutt on ABC Radio Perth.
You're with Jess Strutt on the Focus program, and we're talking play as adults today, and you are loving this. You've got plenty of ideas for how you play as an adult and the importance that it has in your life. You know, goodness gracious, life can get pretty serious and boring at times, can't it? With all the rules, regulations, routines. So I would love to hear about your form of play. I've got Russell on the line, and he does this improvised drama with theatre with Aidan. Morning, Russell.
Morning, Jessica. How are you?
Good. So what? How does this? How did this change your life going to improvised theatre?
Well, without making it super, super dramatic, it was such a dramatic improvement. Such a dramatic improvement. I come from a space where I was in the fire service and went through massive PTSD.
Yeah. So post-traumatic stress disorder, just for those who might not know what that is, thank you.
Yep. Post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, anxiety and insomnia. And when coming across Aidan's program, and I've been doing it for 4 weeks now, when you're coming from a pretty busy mental health space, and I do advocacy volunteer work for people now and have for many years, what I've found is that it gives you a memory space to refer to when you want to refer to a safe space,
yeah,
a safe space of play. So it's actually really awesome, because people, including myself, or I don't want to speak for other people, but I find that that is the case, that you're so wound up with hypervigilance and dealing with really, really stressful memories, and then dealing with the, you know, the ongoing life that follows that.
Absolutely.
And you don't have a safe space to go to where you feel comfortable with other human beings and all that sort of stuff.
A little bit of an outlet.
Well, it creates a new memory for you. So when going through the clinical mental health stuff, you don't have those points to refer to anymore, because you've forgotten them. That's why you actually descend and go to this other space.
It's a beautiful story to share, Russell, and I think you've hit the nail on the head there in describing what it does for you. Certainly play, and Russell there talking about going along to theatre, and that's his way of embracing adult play. Well, how are you? I mean, we're talking play as adults. So I'm wondering, how are you at handstands as a kid? I was terrible. But, you know, some people, they just, they seem to have a bit of a knack for it, don't they? They could stand up there for ages, maybe even step it up a gear and walk around on their hands. Do you remember those people at school? Well, there's a time when you're growing up when handstands are a real sort of a thing, aren't they? You know, we see kids doing it at the park. But then gradually, maybe like play does, it sort of fades away. Well, there's a scene in Perth, would you believe, where adults are taking back that playground art and reviving handstands. We went along to one of the sessions run out of a warehouse in Morley to give you a taste of how a group of adults are turning the idea of play on its head.
Nice, Mikey.
I think handstanding is, I like the fact that it's incremental improvement and yet it's so frustratingly slow sometimes.
Nice.
That'll take a couple of seconds.
Yeah, very nice.
But you will kind of eventually make progress, and when you do, it's super sweet.
Yeah, I'm so happy.
Well, I'm probably the worst handstander here, so I'm finding there's, you do find week on week you make a little bit of progress, so there's some satisfaction in that.
Lean forward, open up the shoulders, try and find a flip.
You've just had a handstanding session. How do you feel now after a good play?
Well, I feel like I've had a bit of an endorphin rush.
I really like how it stills my mind. So I'm very, like, my mind races all the time. So I'm only concentrating on that. Yeah, I love it.
It's relaxation, I think. It's just letting go and not having to worry about anything.
Just, you know, the immersion in there is just lovely.
Heel pulls, looking for sets of 10. Toe pulls, looking for sets of 5. Find a partner, enjoy your time.
What would you say to people who might want to give things like handstanding a go but are worried they might look silly?
You will look silly, and that's okay, you know? You'll be around other people that are going to look silly, and you'll all look silly together, and you'll all have a big laugh, and then you'll feel better.
Well, there you go. If you want to play, you will look silly, should I say. And a group of adults in Perth, they're turning upside down to get a dose of play and meeting for weekly handstand classes. And that lovely little package was actually put together by our Focus producer, Sarah Talia, who loves her play that she so much. She is actually a member of that group. So thanks to her for that. Well, up next, we are going to continue this chat about adult play. And we're going to meet a man who has returned to something he loved as a child. And he's reconnected with a way to play and express himself and, I suppose, release some stress.
Noisy kids.
Sit down, you in the back.
Heavy traffic. Road hogs.
Put your foot down.
Relax. Drive home with Jeff.
Yeah, but I won't babysit your kids, mate.
4 to 6.30 weekdays right here on ABC Radio Perth.
You're with Jess Strutt on the Focus program talking about play for adults today, the importance of it, and having a bit of fun, letting your hair down, being silly, the benefits of that. Now, well, as I've said, we've been talking about embracing that playful side, and Stephen Kendall, well, he describes himself as an interlocking construction engineer. Stephen, what is that title code for?
Good morning. Yes, interlocking construction engineer means I like to play with Lego, basically.
Oh, so goodness. I thought they'd set up the wrong guest for me. You sounded extremely boring, but Lego. So when did Lego first come into your world then, Stephen Kendall?
Well, when I was 8 years old, Lego was promoting the Technic sets, which are all the sets that have all the motors and the gears and the mechanical stuff. And I was absolutely enthralled by the idea of these sets. So I nagged my mother to buy me some of those sets. And I just found this whole world of Lego just so fascinating. And it was a place for me when I was a child. It was a safe place. It was a place where I could go and do my own thing, make my own thing, and control my own world. So it was very therapeutic for me as a child.
So first set at around the age of 8, may I ask your age now?
I'm 50 now.
All right, so you're 8, you love your Lego, must have played with it for years and years, and then you entered what you call the dark ages. What are they?
Yes. The dark ages are when you put down the bricks and you don't play with them anymore. You don't use them anymore. You put them away in a cupboard and they just sit there. And I stopped at about 14. I stopped because I'd built everything I thought I could build and other things were happening in my life. So I put the bricks away, and it wasn't until I was 36 that I picked them back up again. And that happened because my wife, Joanna, and I, we went to Copenhagen for the World Rotary Convention. And, of course, Legoland's just down the road.
Right.
So I went to Legoland. I always wanted to go to Legoland because when I was a child, there was lots of brochures about it. And so I said, oh, well, we got to go to Legoland. And we went to Legoland, and we were just blown away with the experience, and we just felt that love again. And my wife, Joanna, and I started buying Lego again and started building again. And we were just, this whole world just came back to us because we both built when we were children.
What a lovely thing to share. We were just talking before, you probably heard the couple that go and fly kites at the beach. And I think that sense of play and shared play is beautiful with couples. I'm wondering, how does playing with Lego, what does it do for you now as an adult compared to what it did when you were, you know, a child? What are the similarities and differences, I suppose?
Yeah, I mean, it's still that safe place, so that where I learnt as a child I could do what I wanted. Sorry, the dogs are barking at someone.
We can hear that. They want some attention. They want you to go and play with them. I mean, we can hardly complain if they want to play.
Oh, but they chew the Lego. They don't play with
it. Do they? Righto. Don't lock them up in that room where the Lego is while we're chatting then, Stephen, for goodness sakes.
For me it is that come home, you know, you're having a stressful day, you haven't had such a great day, you can come home and play with the Lego because it becomes your world. It's what you can control completely in that world. So for me and my wife, it's our little our world that we can do what we want and express how we feel or convey a idea. So yeah, it's that creativeness and expression that comes out.
Hey, Stephen Kendall, interlocking construction engineer, aka lover of Lego. Final question, what's your advice for someone who is sitting there going, man, my life has become so boring and mundane and I feel like my whole life is full of bills and stress and routine? What is your advice to someone who has listened today and decided they want more play in their adult life? How do they go about finding that thing, like Lego for you, that works for them?
I think you just need to think back to your childhood and what you enjoyed the most. What was the main thing that gave you love of play? That could be anything. I mean, it could be playing with little dinky cars, or maybe you had a dollhouse or something, or, you know, maybe driving trains around a display, or Lego. Just go and buy a Lego set.
Hey, Stephen Kendall, thanks so much. I'm going to go home, dig into my shed when I get home and find my old toy box and see from when I was a child and see if I can find some Lego. Stephen Kendall there, lover of Lego, otherwise known as an interlocking construction engineer is the technical term. And some good texts as well. Thanks, Patrick. He called up to say on the issue of play that he fires up a bit of Led Zeppelin and he plays lead guitar on his tennis racket. I'm getting pictures of you doing that now, Patrick. Very funny. Thank you for that. And Jill called on the issue of adult play to say she plays hide and seek with her partner and they both love it. Beautiful. Lovely. And thank you for sharing your stories of adult play.
Be part of the conversation with Jessica Strutt